Hello, and welcome to Stories for Sleep. This is a great way to fall asleep, or just to chill out. So, sit down, calm down, and let's read Riki Tiki Tavi. Tiki Tavi. This is the story of the Great War that Riki Tiki Tavi fought single-handed through the bathrooms of the big bungalow in Singoli Cantonment. Darzi, the tailor bird, helped him, and Chandra, the muskrat, who never comes out into the middle of the floor but always creeps around by the wall, gave him advice. But Riki Tiki did the real fighting. He was a mongoose, rather like a little cat in his fur and his tail, but quite like a weasel in his head and in his habits. His eyes and the end of his restless nose was pink. He could scratch himself anywhere he pleased with any leg, front or back, that he chose to use. He could fluff up his tail till it looked like a bottle brush, and his war cries, he scuttled through the long grass was Rick, Tick, Tiki, Tiki, Chick. One day, a high summer flood washed him out of the burrow in where he lived with his father and mother, and carried him kicking and clucking down a roadside ditch. He found a little wisp of grass floating there, and clung to it till he lost his senses. When he revived, he was lying in the hot sun in the middle of a garden path, very draggled indeed. And a small boy was saying, "Here's a dead mongoose, let's have a funeral." "No," said his mother, "let's take him in and dry him. Perhaps he isn't really dead." They took him into the house, and a big man picked him up between his finger and his thumb and said he was not dead but half choked. So they wrapped him in cotton wool and warmed him over a little fire, and he opened his eyes and sneezed. "Now," said the big man. He was an Englishman who had just moved into the bungalow. "Don't frighten him, and we'll see what he do." It is the hardest thing in the world to frighten a mongoose, because he's eaten up from nose to tail with curiosity. The motto of all the mongoose family is, "Run and find out." And Riki Tiki was a true mongoose. He looked at the cotton wool, decided that it was not good to eat, ran all around the table, sat up, and put his fore in order. He scratched himself and jumped on the small boy's shoulder. "Don't be frightened, Teddy," said his father. "That's his way of making friends." Riki Tiki looked down between the boy's collar and neck, snuffed at his ear, and climbed down to the floor, where he sat rubbing his nose. "Good gracious," said Teddy's mother, "and that's a wild creature. I suppose he's so tame since we've been so kind to him." "All mongooses are like that," said her husband. "If Teddy doesn't pick him up by the tail or try to put him in a cage, he'll run in and out of the house all day long. Let's give him something to eat." They gave him a little piece of raw meat. Riki Tiki liked it immensely, and when it was finished, he went out into the veranda and sat in the sunshine and fluffed up his fur to make it dry to the roots. Then he felt better. "There are more things to find out about this house," he said to himself, "than all my family could find out in their lives. I shall certainly stay and find out. He spent all day roaming over the house. He nearly drowned himself in the bathtubs, put his nose into the ink on the writing table, and burned it on the end of the big man's cigar. For he climbed up in the big man's lap to see how writing was done. At nightfall, he ran into Teddy's nursery to watch how neosine lamps were lighted, and when Teddy went to bed, Rikki Tikki climbed up too. But he was a restless companion, because he had to get up and attend to every noise all through the night, and find out what made it. Teddy's mother and father came in. The last thing to look at their boy, and Rikki Tikki was awake on the pillow. "I don't like that," said Teddy's mother. "He may bite the child." "He'll do no such thing," said the father. "Teddy's safer with that little beast than if he had a bloodhound to watch him. If a snake came into the nursery now..." But Teddy's mother wouldn't think of anything so awful. Early in the morning, Rikki Tikki came to early breakfast in the veranda, riding on Teddy's shoulder, and they gave him banana and some boiled egg. He sat on their laps, all after the other, because every well-brought-up mongoose always hopes to be a house mongoose someday, and have rooms to run about in. And Rikki Tikki's mother, she used to live in the general's house at Sigoli, had carefully told Rikki what to do if he ever came across white men. Then Rikki Tikki went out into the garden to see what to be was seen. It was a large garden, only half cultivated, with bushes as big as summer houses, of Marshall Neal roses, lime and orange trees, clumps of bamboos, and thickets of high grass. Rikki Tikki licked his lips. "This is a splendid hunting ground," he said, and his tail grew bottle brushy at the thought of it. Then he scuttled up and down the garden, snuffing here and there until he heard very sorrowful voices in a thorn bush. It was Darzi, the tailor bird, and his wife. They had made a beautiful nest by pulling two big leaves together and stitching them up by the edges with fibers, and had filled the hollow with cotton and downy fluff. The nest stayed with and fro as they sat on the rim and cried. "What is the matter?" asked Rikki Tikki. "We are very miserable," said Darzi. "One of our babies fell out of the nest yesterday, and Nag ate him." "Hmm?" said Rikki Tikki. "That is very sad, but I am a stranger here. Who is Nag?" Darzi and his wife only cowered down in the nest without answering. From the thick grass at the foot of the bush came a low hiss, a horrid cold sound that made Rikki Tikki jump back 2 clear feet. Then inch by inch of the grass rose up the head and the spread hood of Nag, the big black cobra, and he was 5 feet long from tongue to tail. When he had lifted 1/3 of himself clear of the ground, he stayed balancing and fro exactly as a dandelion tuft balances in the wind, and he looked at Rikki Tikki with the wicked snake's eyes that had never changed even with their expression. "Whatever this snake may be thinking of, who is Nag?" said he. "I am Nag. The great god Brahm put his mark all on our people. When the first cobra spread his hood to keep the sun off of Brahm as he slept, look and be afraid. He spread out his hood more far than ever, and Rikki Tikki saw the spectacle mark of the back of it. for a mongoose to stay frightened for any length of time. And though Rikki Tikki have never met a live cobra before, and his mother had fed him on dead ones, he knew that a grown mongoose's business in life was to fight and eat snakes. Nag knew that too, and at the bottom of his cold heart, he was afraid. "Well," said Rikki Tikki, and his tail began to fluff up again. "Marks or no marks, do you think it's right for you to eat fledglings out of a nest?" Nag was beginning to think to himself, and watching the least little movement in the grass behind Rikki Tikki. He knew that mongooses in the garden meant death sooner or later for him and his family. But he wanted to get Rikki Tikki off his guard, so he dropped his head a little and put it on one side. "Let us talk," he said. That is going to end today's episode. I will finish Rikki Tikki Tavi in another episode soon to come.